The following Loafer's Glory program was recorded live on location in Grass Valley, California, at the Nevada County Fair, where everyone may have been out in the sun a little too long.
Hello, this is UU Todd Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and you are listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Sowing the seed, my hand is one with the earth. Wanting the seed to grow, my mind is one with the light. Hoeing the crop, my hands are one with the rain. Having cared for the plants, my mind is one with the air. Hungry and trusting, my mind is one with the earth. Eating the fruit, my body is one with the earth. Yeah, this is UU Todd Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, once again with Loafer's Glory. And we are here at radio station KVMR, Seat of Your Pants Radio, coming at you with a full-throated roar from the fairgrounds, the Nevada County State Fair, live with people sitting on hay bales all around us. And I'm not making this up, you know, we really are here. Well, and we're, of course, now we're not in Nevada City right now. We're in Grass Valley, which is a sprawling suburb of Nevada City. First of all, what's going on out here at the fair? Well, let's give you an idea of some of the events that are happening out here. Let's listen to this from Harry McClintock.
The elephants are coming.
Oh, my little honey pin arose on me, for I'm just as happy as a bumblebee. I must see that big parade, hear that steam piano play. Got to see the band a-coming down the street, got to buy the tickets for a big front seat. Oh, see them, oh, hear them, ain't that music grand? Let's go, let's go, I've got to see that show on circus day. Just see that mule wearing pants. See Salome do the hoochie dance. Watch the acrobats tumbling round. See that great big funny clown. Look out for that big grizzly bear. He's a fright, he will bite on circus day. Just comes around but once a year. Oh, my honey, ain't you glad you're here? All the sideshows we'll investigate, and the monkeys we will festigate. Oh, you circus day.
Ladies and gentlemen, kindly turn your attention to the large banner displayed upon the left, showing a correct pictorial representation of the gigantic leaping Abyssinian lizard, measuring 72 feet from the top of his head to the tip of his tail, and 72 feet from the tip of his tail to the top of his head, making 144 feet in all.
Again, 10 cents!
We have Kiwi, the Australian wonder, sitting in a den of sliding, gliding serpents. Scientists tell us that the system of this strange creature has become so permeated with the poison from these venomous reptiles that she must be bitten at least once in 24 hours in order to maintain life.
Again, 10 cents!
Next, we have the den of black-maned African lions. Professor Richard DiCenzo will enter that den of lions, and if he is lucky, he will come out alive. See them show their angry teeth. They have the will, yes, they have the power, but they dare not touch their trainer. Back, Brutus.
Again, 10 cents.
Kindly remember that there is positively nothing said or done during the entire performance to shock the sensibilities of the most fastidious lady in the land. And it's all out and over 20 minutes before the big show commences.
Again, 10 cents!
Oh, on circus day. Just see that mule wearing pants. See Salome do the hoochie dance. Watch the acrobats tumbling round. See that great big funny clown. Look out for that big grizzly bear. He's a fright he will bite on circus day. Just comes around but once a year. Oh, my honey, ain't you glad you're here? All the sideshows we'll investigate and the monkeys we will festigate. Oh, you circus day.
Oh, you circus days, Harry Mack McClintock, 1929. And it's pretty much like that out here today. You know, all kinds of bizarre things. If you can believe it, people are actually talking about raising chickens. It's a caution. I have just come from the canned goods pavilion where folks around here who are used to putting up their own canned goods have them on display and they're judged. And I'm talking to the blue ribbon winner. I've just had a chance to interview her. But she won with, well, she said that her cats wouldn't eat mice. They wouldn't catch mice. All they'd do is eat out of the bowl. So she decided if they got hungry enough that they would eat anything. So she built a mouse trap. She built a brown L kind of mouse trap, which is in her pantry with the goods up and down one wall on both sides. She hung an apple from the light fixture, covered the top of the apple with peanut butter, and underneath put a half-full bucket of water. Now, this is the fact, folks. Those mice crawled up the pantry, attracted by the smell of peanut, jumped on the top of the apple, which tipped over and dropped them into the bucket of water, and they drowned. In the morning, she had a bucket of drowned mice. Now, what has this got to do with canned goods? Like I said, she thought that her cats would eat anything if they got hungry enough. She dilled those mice. She put them up in cur jars and dilled them. She said if you go down in her basement, you see little beady eyes staring out at you, row after row after row. Well, congratulations, Mrs. Drusilla Klang, for showing us your prize-winning dilled mice. Right now, let's listen to one of my favorite people, marvelous fellow that I used to love to play with at festivals all over the country, passed away now from New Orleans, Roosevelt Sykes, and leaving Chicago.
Gone away, we ain't coming back no more. Gone away and ain't coming back no more. We live in Chicago, cause we're tired of that ice and snow. Going back to the country and get my old cotton sack. Pick up my old cotton sack. I'm gonna buy me a wagon, get rid of my new Cadillac. Gonna buy me a mule. Oh yes, a hoe and a plow. Then I can walk right out my backyard, get my milk from my Jersey cow. Where is it? Much happier when I was living out on the farm. Living out on the farm. Hand me my cotton sack here.
Well, that was a great Roosevelt Sykes, and he is indeed leaving Chicago. In fact, he has left this mortal coil entirely. Well, out here we have the 4-H that are exhibiting all kinds of animals, all kinds of livestock. We have a young fellow sitting here. Actually, his brother's supposed to be here, but you'll do just fine. This gentleman here is Steve Baker, and he's going to interview you, and I'm going to ask you about chickens. What's your name?
Jared Jackson.
Well, hello, Jerry. And you're up here with the 4-H. Are you in the chicken coop?
Yeah. Well, I'm raising chickens up there, yeah.
How long have you been raising chickens?
I think about 4 or 5 years.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 12.
Are any of your chickens as old as you are?
No.
You gave them all up. Well, where did your chickens go, if I may make so bold?
They died.
How did they die? Did they die for
old
culinary
age.
Purposes or old age?
Old age.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. At least you did give them up for some kind of chicken paprikash. Congratulations. Well, you kept your chickens into their advancing years, right? I mean, into their old age. Pardon me, I talk an archaic form of English that isn't used much anymore. Do you enjoy being around chickens?
Yeah.
Some people think, and indeed assert, I'm among them, that chickens are stone stupid. Do you agree?
Some of them.
Well, you think there are degrees of brilliance among chickens? There are some dumb, some smart, some average?
Yeah.
What makes a smart chicken? I got you on that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
What does a chicken have to do to demonstrate to you that it is smart?
I don't know. Just,
comes when he's called, rolls over, plays dead, jumps through a fiery
hoop. Some of them come to you sometimes.
They do.
Yeah,
they know
some
the
of them
source
are nice
of their
too,
food. Some of them are nice.
Yeah, some of them.
And what is it? And a dumb chicken is one that'll drown when it rains by holding its head up like a turkey. Ever seen that happen?
No.
Oh, they hold their mouth open like that, and the water falls in and they drown just standing there. So are you going to raise chickens as a profession?
Probably not.
What do you plan on doing with your life after this chicanery?
I'm not sure.
Well, good for you. Now, that's it. Keep all your options open, right? What about this auction you mentioned to me?
Well, after the chickens get judged, the first, second, and third place chickens go to auction.
I see. That's like being in court. When you get judged, you get sentenced. In this case, it's a capital punishment. You auction the chickens off.
Yeah, by the pound.
By the pound. What's the largest chicken you ever raised?
I'm not really sure.
I mean, do they get up above 10 pounds?
Yeah, I guess some of them maybe.
Have you ever raised...
Not really. For two chickens would weigh about the equivalent of 10.
Okay. 10 do you ever raise a boneless chicken? That's they're real popular in restaurants now. I've seen boneless chickens. They roll around. They flop their head over on the feet, blah, like that. And they're fun to watch. It's like a big furry polo ball. Well, look, we're going to press on here. And thank you very, very much for coming visiting us, all right? And good luck with your chickens.
You're welcome.
Let's hear it for this lad here, the chicken raiser, the poultryman. I think chickens are stupid. I really think they're stupid. Every chicken I eat is one less chicken I must suffer to share the earth with. I eat eggs because it's a kind of chicken abortion. Well, when you're born a white man in late 20th century industrial society, you inherit a lot of sexism, a lot of racism that you don't want. I invest it all in the humble chicken, and then I can love everybody. I'm kind of my own coyote. I guess it came out of the fact that during the Second World War, there was no ration stamps for pet food, for cat food, dog food. So I had two dumb chickens that I was given. They could pick up the seed in the Victory Garden. One of them got real sick, so we had to kill the other one to make chicken soup to get the first one better. And the one we killed came back and haunted us, kind of a poultry geist. My uncle ran a chicken ranch. It was quite an interesting place. I remember one time, it was out in the Uinta Basin by Mighton. He was sitting there reading the paper. My aunt came in from the chicken yard and said, "It's our 30th wedding anniversary. Go out back and kill a chicken." He said, "Why blame a chicken for something that happened 30 years ago?" Let's listen to Kate Wolf right now, and everybody's looking.
This is all, by the way, to lead into a song we wrote about bulletin boards down where we live. We spend a lot of time reading the walls between sets. You know, you sort of hang out. If you want to find out what's happening in town, you read the walls, what people choose to put up on the board. Best one we ever saw was down in Hollywood. There was a little handwritten notice in the middle of all these business cards in a Hollywood restaurant that said, "Is your reality too much for you to handle? Call me." Left his name and phone number at the bottom. But what we found in just traveling around is that there seems to be three categories that everybody's kind of looking for, and the first is an old Chevy, 55 through 57. And the second one is a bass player, because nobody wants to be bass player, they want to play lead, you know, in the new groups. The third notice you see a lot of is wanted, 3-bedroom house in the country, willing to caretake for the rent. Ah, yes, a familiar chord. This tune is called Everybody's Looking for the Same Thing. Outside a country store, there's a board on the wall filled with cards of every size. What the folks are looking for is written there to see, and reading it, it comes as no surprise. Everybody's looking for the same thing. Same thing, it's plain to see. What is it?
Old Chevy bass player, country house on 3 acres.
3 bedrooms, absolutely free. Someone going to Boston with a guitar and a dog and a lady with a goat to give away. There's 10 free kittens, a square dance on Sunday, and
Cindy, please get in touch with Ray.
It's in the stars, $15 to fix my car, and you can call mornings or evenings until 9. Do you want to lose weight and meditate? Herbal remedies you should take and massages given at your house or mine. Everybody's looking for the same thing. The same thing, it's plain to see. It's an old Chevy, a bass player, a country house on 3 acres, 3 bedrooms, absolutely free. A card that says it all. Use the words that say it best, include a number and address, and pin it up with the others on the wall. 'Cause everybody's looking for the same. The same thing is plain to see. It's an old Chevy, a bass player, a country house on 3 acres.
3 bedrooms, absolutely free.
Oh, yes, that was Kate Wolf, recorded live at the Nevada Theater some years ago by Dakota Sid Clifford, lives out in Pairdale, and that's from the collection of Che Greenwood, who's one of our fine broadcasters at KVMR. Well, right now we have gathered around us some other 4-H young people. I don't like to use the word kids because it refers to small goats, if I'm not mistaken, and you don't look like small goats to me. You folks are involved in raising, all right, now set it straight. I said you raise cows, and you said you raise steers. Now, would you explain the difference between them, please, this young lady?
Well, a cow has had a baby before, and it's also a female. And a steer is a male, but it was castrated, so you could show it for a market at the fair.
Show what for market?
The steer.
Oh, the steer. Whoa. What's your name, please?
Sarah.
Howdy, Sarah. And so you raise steers.
Yeah.
Do you do the castration, if I may?
No. Well, it depends on... I usually buy mine from different shows. I got mine this year in Fresno, and that's where I buy them from.
Well, and you buy them when they're little? And then raise them?
Not really. They actually... We bought them in December last year, but they were born in, I think, April or May last year.
Do any of you raise cows? Let him talk. Yeah. Put that mic up there. And if you lean into that young fella, what's your name?
Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. And you raise cows. Are these milk cows?
Yeah.
I suppose that's what cows are for. And do you like being around cows?
Yeah.
Do you know about cow peace?
Mm-mm.
I practice cow peace. It's a kind of a Zen discipline here in Nevada County. Cow peace is where, you know, if you mess with a cow, if you walk over to it and mess with it, it'll move just enough to get away from whatever's aggravating it. And then if you continue, it'll just move a little bit more. That's called cow peace. And I practice that. We even have a hand sign. It's like that. You know, we say cow peace, cow peace. And you know what I'm talking about because you probably practice it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you cows affectionate?
Mm-mm.
Do you give them names?
Yeah.
I've heard that people who have cows very often give them names of their favorite foods, so there's no mistake about what they're for. Is that true?
I don't know.
Beef bourguignon?
Sometimes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, are you going to be doing this the rest of your life?
Until I'm like 18.
And then what happens when you're 18? You go into the Navy and see the world, or what?
No, going to play soccer.
Play what?
Soccer.
You're going to be a professional soccer player?
Yeah.
That's terrific. You can, and do you train by chasing cows?
No.
Or letting them chase you? Well, you might want to try that out. You, sir, what do you do?
I raise a steer.
And what's your name?
Cody.
How long have you been doing this?
1 year. First year.
Is there such a thing as a polo steer? Has anybody ever tried playing polo from the back of a steer?
No, never.
Do you think it's something you might be interested in trying?
No.
Are steers pretty mean, do you figure?
No. You can tame them down pretty good. Some are pretty jumpish.
Now, what do you do with the jumpish steer? Get out of the way?
Yeah. You just gotta be a little more calmer around it.
Oh, I see. So if you practice gentleness, it'll gentle the steer down.
Yeah.
That's true with anybody, isn't it? It's true with kids. It's true with people that they might have a fight with at school. You gentle down, they'll gentle down right away. As soon as they know they're not threatened, isn't that true?
Yep.
Well, that's a good lesson for us all, isn't it? Okay, well, thanks, kids, for coming over and spending time with us. And we're going to forge ahead here in Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. Let's give them a big hand here. Yeah. Well, now, we're going to go over to the pavilion where they're doing the contest. Now, let's listen to... let's switch the remotely over to Paul Zariski, and he's going to tell you about the pie-eating championships.
The heavyweight champion pie-eating cowboy of the West. I just ate 50 pies. Started off with coconut macaroon, wedged my way through Bar Angel chocolate, Marlboro, black walnut, and sour cream raisin to confetti-crusted crab apple, still got room for dessert, and they could stick their J-E-L-L-O where the cow pie don't shine. 'Cause sugar plum, I don't eat nothing made from horses' hooves. So make it something pie, something light and fancy like huckleberry fluffy chiffon. Go extra heavy on the hucks and fluff, beaten egg whites folded in just so. Or let's shoot for something in plaid, red and tan lattice-topped raspberry, honeyed crust flaky and blistered to a luster, wild fruit oozing with a scoop of hard vanilla. Or maybe I'll strap on a feed bag of something a smidgen more timid, quivering custard with its nutmeg-freckled fill, nervous in the shell. Come to think of it now, blue ribbon mincemeat sounds a lot more my cut. Neck of venison, beef suet, apples, raisins, citrus peel, currants, all laced Grammy fashion and blackstrap molasses? No, truth is I'm craving shoe fly or spiced rhubarb or sure hard to match peachy praline, cinnamon winesap apple a la mode, walnut crumb or chocolate frosted pecan, or white-capped high above its fluted deep-dish crust, a lemon angel meringue. Not to mention mandarin apricot, black bottom banana cream, burgundy berry, Bavarian nectarine ambrosia, and how could you outgun the Turkey Day old reliables? Sweet potato, its cousin pumpkin, its sidekicks Dutch apple and cranberry ice cream nut. Ah, harvest moon, that autumn gourmet cheese supreme, or Jack Frost squash, or my favorite, you ask? That's a tough one. Just surprise me with something new, sweetie pie. Like tangerine, boomerang, gooseberry.
Utah Phillips back again with Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. That was Blind Kenny Hall from Fresno, California, one of the greatest musicians and finest people I ever met in my life. If you have a chance to visit Fresno, there's not much to do there, folks. So go visit Blind Kenny Hall and go out and visit the Underground Garden. Right now I want to send a very special song out to a very special person in my life, my wife, Joanna Robinson. When we got married, she kept her own last name because she's had it all her life and it ain't near wore out yet. So, Joanna, I hope you're listening, and this is for you.
Oh,
Fishers, sung by UC Burlin, recorded in the mid-1950s, and that's for my wife Joanna. I love you. Well, now I've been over here to the steam tractor exhibit. They have some antique steam tractors here, puffer bellies, and they fired them up, and they're actually demonstrating them. And I found one of the operators, an older fella, from down the southern part of the state. I think he's from. What is it called? Slab, down by Bakersfield. And he, since he has the steam and since he has the pot, he's using his steam tractor as a still and making moonshine. In fact, he has a little tube that comes out of it right into the cab where he can suck on it while he's plowing. And I've invited him over here from the exhibit. I understand that that you have a steam tractor still out there.
What?
Are you allowed to drive that thing? What? How do you like that? You make moonshine in your steam tractor. I know, thank you. I'm not allowed to do that here. We're on the roof. I think you probably better get back to your tractor now. We really. Would you help assist this gentleman back to his steam tractor still? Thank you. Goodbye. See you next year. Well, that was our steam tractor. Drunk. Now, we talked to some 4-H kids a little earlier. You know, out on the San Juan Ridge over the Yuba River from here, there are pagan kids that live up there out in the woods with their families. And these pagan kids, they don't raise chickens, they don't raise roosters, they don't raise cows, they don't raise sheep or hogs. These pagan kids raise centaurs. And we've gone up there after the centaur judging, and we have... brought one of the centaurs down here to talk. Now, I only have one question I'd like to ask you, Mr. Centaur. How does it feel to be a horse's ass? Now, don't get mad. Now, come back here. Come back here now. Well, I guess we lost the centaur. Oh, well, let's move along here now. A fella whose neighborhood I grew up in when I was a kid in Cleveland, Ohio, Mickey Katz, the great Yiddish songwriter and singer. Let's listen to the Barber of Schlemiel.
I am the Barber of Schlemiel. Chitty-bum, 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 chitty-bum. Oh, my price is a billing, it's cost me viel. Chitty-bum, 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 chitty-bum. Ich weiß nicht, in der ist, wenn ich schneide, ob die Pay ist. Oh, ich will, you get clipped. mit der Clip, Clip, Clip und der Chap, Chap, Chap und der Hack, Hack, Hack mit dem Kopf. So get on your ferro and bring in your barrel. This is Taki the place. Sein ist Kriol, du ist ein Tau. Figaro, Fegele, Fegele, Figaro, Figaro, Fegele, Fegele, Figaro. Oh, ist das ja Fegele. Fegele, Figaro, Figaro, Fegele, Lachsen, Cream Cheese mit der Begele, Eats und Parodden, ist gut für den Morgen mit der Gläserle, Twist ins Plain. Linz ist ein Rat, so viel abjuckt, Gesäß, alle Glicken, wir können das sticken. Ida will machen, ist gut für ihr Beibler, hin, an, 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 ho, ho. Ein Stückele Herzl, ein Gläserle Wein, ein Hummentaschen, Hacker, ein gefüllte Fisch, reit von der Jam. Hoi, jetzt geht die Bobis da, Jankel Kleid, Schmerl, Meisch, Ida, Piece of Russell Fleisch, Piece of Chicken, ist gut euch, Special fliegt bei Stein der Scheuche. Wofür ist die Story mit der Löffel, der Kastoye, Kastoye, käme käfen, sind wir frei, hier zu laufen. Jababababibaba, 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 joho. That's $1 for the air cart and 50 cents for the shave, $1.25 for the vetchere, and $6 for seltzer. Your diner's club card, please.
Mickey Katz, the great Yiddish band leader. Well, we have a special treat for you right now, and this is no fool, and I know I make up a lot of this stuff, but I was never oversold on reality, folks. What did reality ever do for anybody? Look at us. We have earned the right to make up as much of it as we can possibly get away with. Like, for instance, somebody playing the accordion on the other side of our studio here. You've got... Uh-oh. It is him. Once upon a time, Juanita Collard was teaching accordion above me while I was trying to teach guitar downstairs. And she would do accordion band, where 20 kids would play the Marines hymn badly. And the day I quit that studio, I took the top plate off her accordion and filled it full of 2 pounds of flour. And the first squeeze she gave on those bellows, she disappeared into a white cloud. Well, now, what I tell you, the special treat, we have a lady here who's from France, from a town outside of Lyon, and she's never been to the United States before, except right now. And here she is at the Nevada County Fair. And give you, your name?
José Rossi.
And where are you from?
Corsica. And little island in the south.
Well, we know Corsica. Have you? Are you fleeing a vendetta?
Tu as créé un vendetta?
Pas encore. Not yet. Maybe later.
This is the next to her is my sister Deborah Cohen, who is acting as a translator. She was lived in France for a while. You were a French citizen for a while, weren't you?
I'm part Fragoise.
Must you in front of this lady here. Well, why did you decide... first of all, why have you never been to the United States before?
Pourquoi n'es-tu jamais venu aux États-Unis?
Because for me, I am the 30 generation, and American people is for me a problem, a political problem, with Indian, Vietnam, and best one. I am... circumspect about your civilization's dominant culture. I am French.
That about covers it, doesn't it? Well, then given that, I mean, there are a lot of Americans who feel exactly the same way about the French.
En fait, il y a beaucoup d'Américains qui pensent la même chose des Français.
Yeah, we wonder why they don't build a wall around the place and let you be unpleasant among each other.
Ils se demandent pourquoi justement les Français ne se construisent pas un mur autour du pays et qu'ils restent entre eux.
Don't forget, we are the country of 18th century philosoph politique about revolution. Okay?
Okay, I can agree that. I agree with
and
that.
The rights
all right,
of
so
men,
if you
all
don't bring up
world.
Vietnam, I won't bring up the Algerian War, okay?
Okay, but I am against Algerian War.
Right. All right. And I'm against Vietnam. All right. So we'll start even. We'll start over even again. All right. Well, then, given everything you said, why did you decide to come to the United States?
Alors, étant donné tout ça, pourquoi es-tu venu aux États-Unis?
Do you know Tintin in America?
Do I know
Tintin in America?
Oh, Tintin, yeah.
Tintin. All my friends say, okay, you must go and you write something about that José in America, because for me it's movie America, and at first, because my old very nice friend Deborah, he's here, old in not in age, between the years together. And she returns to America in family and friend, and I want this emotional time live with her. And I think it's so I can go to America to see another America.
I'm very happy to hear that. I wish that more tourists, especially Germans that come to America, would come with that attitude of wanting to look at the country from the ground up, like coming to the Nevada County Fair and looking at what our people do and what we grow and how we get along with each other, which has nothing to do with the state, has nothing to do with the government. Huh? And I think there's a France like that, too.
Il aimerait bien voir beaucoup d'autres étrangers qui viennent justement visiter les États-Unis et qui le voient comme toi, c'est-à-dire de la base. C'est-à-dire ici à la foire, qui voit des choses basiques.
I think we have got the same problem because we know another country, another way of our country. But why you don't make documentary about TV all over the world about another American way of life with another culture, alternative culture, country, fairground? I think you have to. If you want, we can do it together.
We the people do not own the capitalist media. We the people do not own the television networks. That's why they don't talk about the real us. They talk about the corporations. They talk about the industrialists. They talk about the presidents that didn't get caught. That's why we have community radio. That's why we have KVMR. So we can talk about these things right now.
You want a translation of all that?
Is there a people's radio, community radio in France?
Est-ce qu'il existe une radio de communauté en France?
Yes, mais a lot of, but only since la gauche vient au pouvoir, the left.
Since the left was.
The left politic goes on government with Mitterrand. Only since 81, there are a lot. For women, for gay, for black, for Arabish people, for everyone. Yes, you can now. It's very important.
I'm so glad to hear that. Now, you see, that's real people-to-people communication, community radio to community radio. I think KVMR would enjoy swapping tapes, recordings of programs, and swapping ideas with community stations in France. We'll talk about and making that happen.
Il pense que ça serait vachement intéressant que KVMR, cette radio justement-ci, fasse des échanges de cassettes, d'enregistrements avec les radios communautaires et les radios publiques en France.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. We can act in that way.
I have one final question before we plunge back into the music, and it's an awkward sort of question.
Une question finale. Elle est un tout petit peu délicate.
Is it true that Mitterrand, the great socialist, his last meal before he died was bird tongues?
Est-ce vrai que le dernier repas de Mitterrand, le grand socialiste, était des ortolans?
Yes, and it's a fine meat for us.
But that bird is an endangered species, is that right?
But after dying also, it's another thing about your culture.
It's another sin on Mitterrand's soul, I'll tell you that.
When he lies, his wife, his child, and another wife in his life were here. And maybe it's another thing you can be a surprise for you. But for us, it's okay. We have private life. We can eat what, even if we are president, Republic president, politics is
même
not
si
private.
En
what? Now, what kind of bird was this?
Ortolan. It's so fine.
And they're very rare.
They're so Swiss.
Very, very rare, right?
With finger.
Now the revolutionary production begins to crumble. It all comes down like a house of cards. Well, all right, we're going to get back into the music here. Thank you so much for being
here. Please, I agree with you. I'm so fine to be
here. Thank you very much. You are welcome.
Thank you, Deborah. We'll see you on the campus here. We'll be out getting around the fair as soon as we're off the air. Well, right now, let's see. What do we have? Let's listen to my old friend I first met in Saratoga Springs, New York, 30 years ago, as I call. Records with her sister, Anna McGarrigle, and in this case, also with Linda Ronstadt. Kate's father and her grandfather's favorite song was an old Stephen Foster song called Gentle Annie. Here it is now. Gentle Annie, Kate McGarrigle, Anna McGarrigle, and Linda Ronstadt. Isn't that a lovely, lovely song? It almost put me to sleep. I get back again to the contest pavilion, where I have been very kindly asked to judge the olive stuffing contest. Now, olive stuffing is buckets of ripe olives here with the pits in them, and the contestants are lined up, and they're going to grab olives out of the bucket, and they're going to stuff them into their mouths, and the one who can hold the most olives with the pits in them in their mouths is going to win. They're going to win an absolutely marvelous prize. They're going to win. The first prize the second prize is a week in Grass Valley. The first prize is 2 weeks in Grass Valley. I'm going to say, you got your olives in your hands now.
Yeah.
Oh, you got your olives? Okay, now I'm going to count to three, and you're going to stuff. One, two, three, stuff. Oh, God, it's disgusting. Oh, that's just... Oh, the juice is dripping down their face, the front of their... There's one of them is not on the ground. Hold the bucket under. Hold the bucket. Oh, it's really disgusting. Ah, I've never seen anything so gross in my life. All right, they look like they're about full now. I'm declaring Deborah Cohen the winner. The winner. How many pits was that? Just how many pits was that? But now hold on to those olives. You hold on to those olives. Just a moment. We're good because now we're going to judge the olive pit spitting contest. So I want to keep those olives in your mouth, chew them up, and give me the pits in this bucket. Spit them in the bucket. Oh, good. All right, now, you're going to take these pits out of this bucket, and you're going to spit these pits as far as you can. And we have judges out there with to mark lines on the ground. All right, you got the pits in your mouth?
Yep.
All right, now one at a time, you first spit. Oh, wow. Really lofted that sucker out there. It must be about 50 feet. Well, sir, can you do any better? Oh, a dribble. Jeez, now you can do better than that. Now, you go ahead. Again, Deborah, you take out. Let's give her. Listen. You're really up against a champion olive pit spitter. Your turn. Ooh, now there's the competitor. It's hitting and it's bouncing just past Deborah's. Get your breath and compose yourself. All right, your turn now, Deborah. Ready, spit. Oh, she hawked a lunger. Well, of course, that disqualifies her. And it looks like you are our de facto winner. Congratulations. And what is your name? That's your name? Well, no wonder you won. Let's move along now back into the music here. And thank you so much for being here. We're switching back to our main studios at the fair, at the fairground. And we're going to listen to, Fresno was settled a lot by Armenians after the turn of the century. We're going to listen to a piece recorded in Los Angeles of an Armenian band playing, recorded in 1929 by an ensemble led by, believe it or not, a Kevorkian. Thank you. Well, we've had a lot of fun here at the Nevada County Fair, and I want to thank all you folks sitting on the hay bales out there for joining with us and being with us. Have you had a good time? But this is community radio at its best. See to your pants radio. The seeds begin abstract as their species, remote as the name on the sack they are carried home in. Fayette Seed Company, corner of Vine and Rose. But the sower going forth to sow sets foot into time to come, the seeds falling on his own place. He has prepared a way for his life to come to him, if it will. Like a tree, he has given roots to the earth and stands free.